interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's one from Portland, Oregon. Just recently, 9 patrol cars were scouring a neighborhood in Portland, Oregon. They had received a disturbing report about a distressed, naked young woman, bound and gagged, thrown in the back of a car, duct tape over her mouth. The woman was actually seen in this car at a variety of places around town. One person was even able to get the tag number on the back of the car. That led to officers very quickly locating the car, a Subaru, found that it was registered to a 31-year-old man. Police showed up there, and sure enough, they found the woman in the back of the Subaru, naked and bound. She was 26 years old. Her 31-year-old captor, however, laughed, said, "Oh, this is just role-playing for Valentine's Day." And the cop said, "What?" And, of course, they ungagged the young woman, and she laughed and said, "Yeah, we just decided it would be fun to do this." That, quote, they were going after the shock effect, end quote. And it wasn't until they pulled out of a marketplace lot that one of the witnesses was able to alert the police and give them the proper information. They were very apologetic. One of the cops there said, "This is the weirdest thing in my 24 years. End quote. Right now, the two have been, however, arrested, and they are accused of second-degree disorderly conduct and booked into the county detention center there. So, was your Valentine's Day that fun? That's how we celebrate it. That's how we roll in this country. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight, almost a Valentine's baby,
Mr. Hardwood. Forrest, Connor, good evening and late happy birthday, Forrest.
Good evening and thank you very much.
So we mentioned before that your birthday is pretty close to Valentine's Day. Do you do anything crazy, kinky, role-play-y kind of stuff like this?
No. Actually, my brother's son was born on Valentine's Day.
Yeah? Yeah. So he's the kinky one.
I guess so.
Well, you know, I must say, I have worked on movie sets before that involved bound, gagged, naked women.
Right.
And I actually had to go around in person to some of the neighbors in the area and make sure they knew I was involved with the shooting of a cheap B-movie horror film. Not to be alarmed if you see women screaming and men running around with naked masks and knives. In fact, I succeeded in making what I truly believe has now been officially called the worst film ever made roundly around the globe. I won't give the name of it out on the air. You'll have to do your own research. But it is R-rated. My defense is it was made in pretty much a weekend for $1,000. It was a lot of fun. And people, actually, there's a lot of people who enjoy it, even as they say it's the worst movie ever made.
But, you know, actually, as bad as I've seen the reviews on this, but as bad as the reviews are, it kind of would make me feel good that someone actually took the time to watch this and say, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
And yet, honestly, there's no way you can have naked women in a movie and it be the worst thing ever made.
True.
Sorry. It's impossible. It's always got to be one notch above the worst.
Now, if you had a couple naked men running around,
it could definitely qualify in that
case. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, you know, in fact, speaking of nakedness, tonight, one of the things we're going to dig into on this program is the subject of naked ghosts. And I don't know if this has ever been addressed on a radio program before.
Actually, I've had people come up to me at several investigations and ask me, why do ghosts wear clothes?
Right. And that is a big question, and there are lots of answers, lots of explanations. And just hold your horses. I know that you're... Jeez. Forrest, we need to... is her microphone on?
It is.
Okay.
Can we turn it off?
Yeah, let's just kill that microphone.
Okay.
We've got to teach her some courtesy here in the studio. So getting back to our conversation
here, you're number one.
Getting back to our conversation, this is a topic that has absolutely been brought up in a lot of controversial circles. If ghosts are the spirit of the dead, why don't they come back naked? There are some really good answers for that, but there are very few case studies. Just recently, however, I discovered some great case studies, and we're going to dig into it. But we have to be sensitive, because there is a woman in the studio. Are you going to behave now, Shelley? Can we turn your microphone back on?
Do I ever behave?
Investigator Shelley Wright. Now, why are you so excited about this?
Leave it to me to blow your research all to hell. The very first ghost I ever saw was naked. I was not naked. She was naked.
That was a hallucination.
No, no, no.
You were dreaming that.
No, no, no.
You manifested.
No, no, no.
Were there mirrors around?
No.
Well, okay, well, see, this is great, but don't spoil it.
Okay.
Because this is going to be our big topic for hour number two.
Okay.
So you've seen a naked ghost.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how long ago is this? We'll just ask you that much.
I was four and a half years old.
Okay. And that's the only time you've seen a naked ghost?
That was the only time I saw a naked ghost.
All right, well...
Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't see ghosts when I was naked. It just means that was the only time I ever saw one that was naked itself.
I know some listeners right now, especially those in the radionics business, who are probably just really chomping at the bud, but at the bit. Excuse me. Chomping at the bit. To hear this story now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, now, so Shelley Wright, Investigator Shelley Wright, no wonder you turned out to be an investigator, from Wright's Coin Shop, Been meaning to ask you, by the way.
Yes.
What are you guys doing over at Wright's Coin Shop these days?
We're selling lots and lots of coins.
Well, people, they have the feeling that you just deal with gold and silver sometimes because we talk about that so much.
Right.
But what is the big picture? What can people experience when they go visit Wright's Coin Shop?
They can experience a full-service coin shop. We have been told from people that come to see us from all over the United States that we have the best coin shop they have ever been in. We have loads and loads of collector coins. We have a full line of supplies. Plus, we do the bullion. So we do everything. We also do currency. We can help you with anything your heart desires.
And what's the number there, Wright's Coin Shop?
Our phone number is 828-298-5402.
That's 828-298-5402. And I know a lot of people are stocking up right now.
Mm-hmm, they are.
It's 2012. The world is chaotic. Good things and bad things are happening. You know, I just recently spoke, I was considered the headliner at the first Brown Mountain Lights Symposium. And it was a big event. It was sold out. Everybody loved my presentation. All the feedback has been really positive. So it was wonderful. There was a lot of media covering it. And Ed Phillips, who is in charge of the tourism department there, he, for the first time ever, created some Brown Mountain souvenirs. And, you know, Forrest, as long as you and I have been going up there and camping out, it's pretty cool to see. Because this is something that should have existed long ago. But look at this. This is a Brown Mountain Lights t-shirt. Isn't that cool?
That is great.
Take a look at this, Shelley.
That's so cool. Did you bring back any for the rest of the class?
This is the only one I have. And I even had to buy it. They didn't even give me a free
one. You were a presenter.
Yeah, but I bought it. So, but I am going to get more of these because I could probably put these in the Mystery Museum, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm, you could.
These are orange, and it has kind of a shadowed gray, nice illustration of the ridge on the front, with the lights twinkling all around it, even some in the sky above it. And below it, it says in bold text, Brown Mountain Lights, Morganton, North Carolina.
And it's a pretty orange.
Yeah.
Not a garish orange. It's more a pumpkin orange or paprika or something.
And they had refrigerator magnets, and they had posters and all kinds of cool stuff. So I just got one of everything, but I need to put this stuff in the museum. But we do need to get our own little stockpile of these.
We do.
Yeah. See, this is good advertising for them. So now, hopefully, you'll be able to go to Burke County and buy this sort of stuff in their gift shops and museum. I don't know what they're going to do with these, but it's nice that it finally exists.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, we're coming up on a break here. And when we come back, we have a lot of weird stuff to dig into tonight. There's no surprise there, I guess. But one thing I'm going to tell you about is why a bunch of workers in Zimbabwe, Africa, are scared to death, refusing to work on a project. Why? Because they're being terrified by real mermaids. Yeah. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And we'll be back to dig deeper and deeper into the amazing, the remarkable, and the downright weird here on Speaking of Strange.
Been alive for 4.5 centuries. I am immortal.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong. Fighting to survive.
forget, you can find a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, all that stuff at speakingofstrange.com. That's speakingofstrange.com. You'll find a link to our Facebook page, Twitter, and we have actually done some updating of our podcasting page. I still get emails from people who say, congratulations on being syndicated, but I can't find any of your podcasts past November. Well, that's because they're going to the WWNC site. And WWNC only has podcasts from before when we were syndicated. So that ended in November. But if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you can find podcasts since we got syndicated, which was in November, I guess, all the way up until last week. And it's now much easier to download than it used to be. So that's speakingofstrange.com. You'll find links to the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. We're doing ghost hunts at the Asheville Masonic Temple on Friday nights. I've got a Brown Mountain Lights expedition that you can join 20 people Saturday, February 25th. I'm going to go up to Brown Mountain with some equipment, and you can become a certified Brown Mountain Lights investigator. Links to all this kind of stuff you'll find at joshuapwarren.com and speakingofstrange.com and hauntedasheville.com. I tell you something else that I think is really cool. I got this email just today, and I love when you get unsolicited, unrequested praise. And this is from some folks who bought one of the Sunshine Simple Generators. It says, we bought one of your solar generators a couple months ago. Just wanted to let you know how happy we are with it. We bought the larger panel and have found it charges very quickly. We keep the panel out the back door and run our radio and CD player on it every day just to keep the battery active. It's such a comfort to know we have backup power in case the lights go out. You guys were very professional through the whole process and answered all of our questions promptly. Thank you again, Nyla and Randy Holvey, Franklin, North Carolina. So go to sunshinesimple.com if you are interested in that. Proceeds from that generator help keep us on the air. And I tell you what, I've got a generator right now at my house that works perfectly fine, but it has a few scratches on it. It got from shipping. And so even though it works perfectly fine, if there's somebody within driving range of Asheville who wants to buy it at a discounted rate, just because it's got a scratch, let me know. Go to sunshinesimple.com, send us an email, and if you're within driving distance, people are always asking us for some deal, something to hook up. Well, here's an opportunity. And you just, you know, get in touch with us, email us, and we'll let you know if we can get this thing to you. And it'll give you an opportunity to feel that same sense of security. Before the break, I was mentioning the strange situation from Zimbabwe in Africa. A government minister in Zimbabwe says work has stopped on new reservoirs because workers have been scared off by mermaids. According to the news there, the Minister of Water Resources reportedly told a parliamentary committee that terrified workers were refusing to return to the sites near the towns of Gokwe and Mutare. He said the only way to solve the problem was to brew traditional beer and carry out rites to appease the spirits. That's what they believe down there. So right now, this is being debated. The senior politician allegedly said mermaids were also present in other reservoirs around the country. The building of the reservoirs is long overdue, but considered essential if Zimbabwe is to provide adequate water for its population and boost agricultural production. You know, it has always been my understanding, and usually, Shelley, girls know more about mermaids than boys do. Mermaids, boys just know, ooh, their breasts are exposed. But girls who actually get a little more into the culture of mermaids tend to know that in the lore, mermaids are nasty, vicious creatures.
obviously female. You know, let's put it that way. They're typical women. They just have a fishtail. What do you know about mermaids, Shelley?
Well, I think you summed it up. Your stereotypical male version. Well, yeah, I have heard the same nasty things. But, you know, before they get all mean and nasty, you know, they're supposed to be beautiful, long, silky hair, you know, bare-breasted, you know,
they're not,
things like
they're
that.
Not always mean and aggressive? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I guess mean and aggressive would kind of go along with luring men to their death. So, yeah, I guess that part's right.
And, well, do you think that right now, in the huge vastness of the sea, the unexplored oceans, it is possible that there is something that looks similar to you from the waist up with a big fish body from the waist down?
Well, I suppose anything's possible.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Forrest? Do you have any thoughts on this? I mean, I think it's... I'm open to the possibility.
Well, I mean, considering how the ocean is one of the most really unexplored, one of the last unexplored areas of the Earth.
Right.
I mean, of course. I mean, like, coelacanth was thought to be extinct until, a few years ago. Then it all of a sudden surfaced. Well, if there's supposedly a Bigfoot-type creature somewhere on land, and we've explored this much land, and we've only explored even less of the ocean, sure, why not?
And just because it looks like a person from the waist up doesn't mean it's built like a person internally. So, because, you know, obviously a person can't live in the ocean.
Obviously.
But there may be things that resemble a person. And I've seen some stuff in the ocean that looks humanoid. Stuff that certainly, if you'd seen it a few hundred years ago, you would say, okay, this could be some type of a creature that is a human fish hybrid. I was recently talking about when I was in Mexico years ago, I went into this shabby, little old, kind of dusty, it reminded me of like an old Clint Eastwood ghost town called Ensenada. And I was in a rough part of town, and with a bunch of shifty-eyed Mexicans. They were, you know, if they'd wanted to really take me for a ride, I couldn't have done much about it. But anyway, at one point, I went into this shop that was in the basement of a building, and it was so cramped down there. I'm 6'2". I had to crouch over. I couldn't stand up straight. And the entire ceiling of the place was just a jigsaw web of bones. It was like walking into some Silence of the Lambs cavern or something. There were bones and remains of weird stuff everywhere. And the people there in Ensenada, you know, they'd sell anything. They'd sell you their daughter, right? And yet, I saw something I really, really wanted hanging on the wall. What they called the devil fish, Diablo, right? And it apparently is a type of ray that, when presented properly and dried, it looks like a little alien. It has a spade-shaped head and eyes and a slit mouth and arms, and it's got little wispy tendrils. And, I mean, it looked really cool, though. And I said, I got to have this. And I had a whole pocket full of American cash, and they didn't even want to discuss it. They would not sell me that, and I just couldn't believe it. I thought they're just trying to play hardball here. They wouldn't sell me this thing, and I know they're rare, but if anybody out there ever has access to a devil fish, let me know. I'd be interested in purchasing it. But point being, there are things that look surprisingly human out there, whether or not, you know. What do they mean when they say mermaids, though? When a bunch of Africans in Zimbabwe say there are mermaids that are terrifying them, are they talking about, you know, Shelley Wright from the waist up with the fishtail? Or is this some type of, you know, creature, some ugly thing with sharp teeth? Probably the latter, I would imagine. We're going to take a break. When we get back, I've got a report about a UFO that supposedly crashed days ago around Spartanburg, South Carolina. Seriously. This is the program where the unusual becomes usual. Keeping you company Saturday nights. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The UFO crash story coming up right after this.
Flight of fancy on a windswept field, standing alone, my senses reel. Fatal attraction is holding me fast. How can I escape this irresistible?
Of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And next hour, we're going to dig into naked ghosts. Maybe the only time this particular subject has been really thoroughly discussed on a serious program like ours. And also, you know, here it is, a political year, 2012, and the politics is just brimming from every news source, and we have made a policy of generally trying to avoid politics on this show. It will be one of those, I guess, a reserve, a place that you can go to get away from all of that crap, that noise. And yet, nonetheless, I've had a pretty good track record of predicting who the president's going to be. Now, I don't claim that I'm some psychic who's looking into the future, but there comes a point when I start getting a feeling and I feel comfortable enough to make a prediction. And I was right before. I've been right numerous times now over the years. And so I'm going to go on the record and make a prediction right now. And let me just say in context, if you're listening to this show far into the future, right now, Forrest and Shelley, you guys would agree that nobody knows who the Republican nominee is going to be yet, right?
Right.
It's still
right.
Very much up in the air.
Right.
And there's still a long way to go.
Yes.
Here it is, you know, February 2012. So, but I just get to a point where I start getting some kind of intuitive feeling, like when I'm about to hit a jackpot or something like that
in
the casino.
let me interrupt you there for a second. I feel the same way. It's like you just feel like the winds are
blowing
a certain way, and
so let's make our predictions tonight.
I mean, like, it might not be what I agree with, but what I think is going to happen.
Often people win that I disagree with, but I believe the winner of the next presidential election is going to be Barack Obama.
I do too.
Shelley, how about you?
I don't want to make a prediction.
Okay, fine. You don't have to. Hey, I'm only making a prediction because I feel it now. I feel like, okay, I think this is what's going to happen.
I don't want to make a prediction because so many times I say something and it does come true.
Oh, you don't want to create the presidency.
I don't want to create it.
God, the ego on this chick, man. Can you believe it?
She's going to say so many times you do something and it actually happens. This is what you say. Well, then say what you want. And maybe it'll happen.
Dude, 2012 has been a very good year so far for me.
How about, say, Joshua P. Warren hits the lottery?
How about Joshua P. Warren is going to put lots of cash in my hand?
If he hits the lottery. All kinds of fun things will happen if I hit the lottery. Trust me. I'm not a greedy guy. So, all right, well, there you go, Forrest. We both have, and in fact, most other people I know of who have come out have said the same thing. Now, we had, however, a guest on this program a while back who strongly said it was going to be Mitt Romney.
Right. I mean, not that something might change tomorrow. But as of when this program is being recorded in mid-February,
right,
the winds right now are pointing to a Barack Obama to be our, to be reelected as president.
Yeah, I think that's just the sense. So there we go. It's out there. And again, this has nothing to do with who we want to win or what we want to happen. It's just a prediction. So one of the big political states, of course, South Carolina. South Carolina, they've already had their Republican primary there. And here's a story that recently came out that people have been buzzing about some here in this area, because we are only about an hour, I guess, from Spartanburg, South Carolina. A mysterious bright light shot across the early morning sky at approximately 1:40 a.m. in South Carolina on Monday, February 13th. According to local Fox affiliate Fox Carolina, this UFO disturbed many upstate South Carolina residents. Dispatchers in Spartanburg reportedly fielded dozens of 911 calls from concerned witnesses just before 2 a.m. One witness who contacted Fox Carolina explained that she, quote, saw lights, heard a boom, then heard a crash in the woods near her home, end quote. She further explained, quote, it was like a giant spotlight, and it was only there for like 4 or 5 seconds, end quote. The impact from the crashing UFO made her walls shake. Other witnesses saw the fireball zooming through the sky and heard an explosion when it hit the ground. Dr. Charles St. Lucas, the planetarium director at the Roper Mountain Science Center in Greenville, believes that it was a meteor. A bolide, a brighter-than-usual meteor that has the appearance of a fireball flashing through the sky. Those are very rare, but right now, it's still, from what I understand, up in the air. And they say that this fireball is a little bit different, however, than what you might expect from some type of a typical bolide because of the magnitude of the explosion. I mean, usually if something like that is going to hit hard enough to make that kind of an explosion, it's a pretty obvious impact zone. So, I don't know, but this is just another example. It seems like every week when we do this program, there is just some other little story, whether it's local or global, about booms and weird lights and just weird stuff that's continuing to accelerate. So we'll keep our eye on that. But it's a little bit creepy when a lot of this stuff seems to be happening in our area, frankly. Like, you remember the 911 calls we played from Fairview?
I remember.
Nobody can explain that still. And maybe that's related, maybe not. Let's go to some weird behavior. Lexington, Kentucky. A Lexington mail carrier is in trouble, accused of just throwing a bunch of mail into a dumpster.
Newman.
Newman.
You know, that sort of thing may happen all the time, and people just wouldn't know what happened, right? Says here, a person with USPS, following a customer call, we did discover a former employee was disposing of mail improperly because this mail carrier was caught in the act by customers. And he claimed, oh, it was just, you know, junk mail, basically.
It was just junk mail.
Yeah. And another woman says, well, hey, you know, even if there were just coupons, the economy's hard and coupons can be helpful. I read stories like this and I think about two things. Number one, of course, we ship out a lot of products all around the country every year. And somebody ordered a couple years ago one of our, I think it was like a money science kit with some Tibetan emos for your eyes. Anyway, and one day this thing came back to us in the mail. Now, you've seen this, Forrest. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I saw it.
Did you see it, Shelley?
Yes.
Okay, you both have seen that. This package came back to me in a plastic bag, and it looked like it had been to Afghanistan and back. It was charred. It was ripped. It had bullet holes in it. I mean, this thing was just, it was insane. It belongs in a museum. And there was a little generic note in there, and it said something like,
sorry.
Yeah, we regret that we had a problem with this package. And yet they sent it back.
Yes. I think I said, we're sorry, we had a problem with this package. And there was like five or six places to check offs, and no postage, package damage, package was sent to Iran, Afghanistan, sent through a fire range and back, and then sent back to you, or we couldn't find the package.
I think Mobius has that, because he does a lot of shipping, and he needs that to give as an example to customers of what can happen. Also, the other thing I think of is this story about a lady that we knew who used to be a postmaster who said one day there was an employee who had a truck full of mail, and he had driven probably 50 miles down a major highway and then realized he forgot to shut the back of his truck. And so at about 4 o'clock in the morning, they sent out a little SWAT team of post office employees to just scour the highway with flashlights, trying to pick mail out of bushes and gullies and things. So that if you knew what your mail was actually going through, you'd be horrified. So it's not that surprising that there's a guy out there who's just trashing it in the dumpster. When we come back, here's a story that maybe Shelley will be interested in. It's a vampire story, and why that actor Nicolas Cage has actually publicly stated, no, I'm not a vampire, despite this. I'll explain when we come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, speaking of strange.
Well, my name's Conley Pettimore. Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. Anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see you.
years go by, a friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me.
Yeah, thanks for spending your evening with us as we try to make sense of this crazy, often mad and paradoxical world we live in. It's called Speaking of Strange. We'll all get through this together now. And that's why we are here syndicated on the air. And hopefully, you can get us in your town if it's not there, if you're just listening to us online. Call your program director. Tell them to go to speakingofstrange.com. In fact, at speakingofstrange.com, we'll see if Mobius can post a picture comparison related to the story I am about to read to you regarding Nicolas Cage. Apparently, someone put a photograph on eBay of a Civil War soldier and claims that this is, in fact, proof that Nicolas Cage was in the Civil War and that he is an undead creature. And right now, Forrest and Shelley are looking at the picture comparison here. It says on the auction ad there, quote, "Personally, I believe it's him, and he is some sort of walking undead vampire, etc., who reinvents himself once every 75 years or so. 150 years from now, he might be a politician, the leader of a cult, or a talk show host. My theory is that he allows himself to age to a certain point. Then the actor Nicolas Cage will die, but in reality, the undead vampire Nicolas Cage will have rejuvenated himself and appeared in some other part of the world, young again, ready to start all over, etc., etc." The guy asking $1 million for this photo. Now, Nicolas Cage was asked on the David Letterman show to comment on this. And before I tell you what Nicolas Cage had to say, I will just tell you I'm looking at the photo comparison of Nicolas Cage sitting there on the Letterman show and this Civil War photo, and there is an unnerving resemblance, especially in the eyes and the overall sort of, expression. Do you agree with that, Forrest?
Sort of. I mean, it's sort of like a real-life True Blood. I don't know if you know about the story about the...
My wife watches True Blood all the time, but I don't.
But one of the main characters on there was a Civil War soldier who was who had some things happen to him during the Civil War, and he reinvents himself.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, after vampires came out of the coffin or whatever they want to call it, he invented himself as an upstanding citizen. So,
well, he's got the nose, he has the eyes. What do you think, Shelley?
Dead ringer.
What's that?
Dead ringer.
Really?
He looks very, very much like Nicolas Cage.
Any time you could find an historic photo that looks that much like you, that's got to be a little creepy.
Yes.
At very least, you're imagining what genetic connection you might have.
Yes.
So, of course, on Letterman, apparently, and I haven't watched the video of this, but Letterman brought this up and asked Cage about it. And Nicolas Cage said, quote, "How can I be polite about this? It's a somewhat slowed down version of me," end quote. And I have to agree with that. He also pointed out, quote, "There's a photograph of me and you can't take pictures. I don't drink blood. And the last time I looked in the mirror, I had a reflection," end quote. So, he's joking about it. And I guess unless one believes in vampires, you would just have to joke about it. But, Shelley, do you think it's possible that what we have here is evidence that a vampire who has lived for hundreds of years has the experience and the knowledge for how to make himself successful in whatever lifetime he reinvents himself as in?
How do I put this? No, I'm thinking genetics. There's got to be a genetic connection there, but no, I do not believe that Nicolas Cage is a vampire.
Do we know the identity of the individual from the Civil War?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't see that listed here. And they say that the listing apparently disappeared at some point.
Uh-huh.
Which is also pretty odd, perhaps. So, you know, we'll keep our eye on it. But it'd be really interesting to see more of this sort of thing, you know, comparisons between how somebody appears now and if there's a counterpart that can be discovered from back in the day. Okay, we're up on a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about naked ghosts. And there is a lot of actually thought-provoking material regarding this subject. It's not just something that we can, you know, laugh at and thumb our noses at. By the way, I'm going to ask Mobius to put up the Nicolas Cage comparison photo for you there at speakingofstrange.com. When we come back, Naked Ghosts. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.